It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, you are listening to Abyss Gazing, a horror podcast where we celebrate all things spooky and mental health.
I'm your co-host, Mark.
And I'm your other co-host, Josh.
And we're talking about Prey today. Well, it's just Prey, but not today or whatever.
I feel like this is going to be an interesting conversation.
It may not be as interesting as you think.
That's fair. I guess my first question, like jumping into this, is like, where do you stand with the Predator franchise as a whole?
I like the franchise. I've always liked Predator. Predator was one of the early horror movies I used to watch when I was getting into horror as a kid. It's more on the sci-fi, but the way they do stuff, the way the Predator kills, it still falls in the horror. So it's a horror sci-fi genre, or sci-fi horror, however you want to say it. So, but yeah, I like it for the most part.
Okay. Like I understand that. Cause like, I feel like we've had a couple episodes thus far where we're like trying to like justify certain movies that we cover. But I've heard a lot of horror films, like channels that I follow and creators like cover this movie. But the reason why I ask is because I feel like I'm a casual fan to the franchise. Like, I know that there are some people that are like diehards that ride or die when it comes to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predators, like even the AVP movies. And I'm just not there. Like I'm fine to watch these movies like once every 10 years.
So the first one had all the campy taglines and cheesy one-liners, along with the introduction of the Predator. They credit Sam Winston with it, but we've mentioned it before. He actually said in an interview that that he got the idea while on a flight sitting next to James Cameron. So James Cameron helped him come up with the design for the face with the mandibles and stuff. But Stan Winston is credited with creating the Predator. But back in the 80s, I mean, the only thing close kind of presence wise as a creature would have been the Alien. So the Predator was like the next big sci-fi kind of horror creature to be introduced to the world. And it was actually almost never put out. The original movie was almost never a thing.
That's fascinating to me to hear, because I don't know like a whole lot about the original. I know that like you said, Sam Winston had an original like help in the character design, or some variation thereof that you just talked about. I know that Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original like stand-in, and he had like an allergic reaction to the suit or something, and like walked off the set, and then they found like redesigned it or got another actor.
So the original Predator suit was like styrofoam and different forms of foam and latex and junk. Van Damme was the original Predator. However, he kept fainting from the heat and being cooped up in that suit and taping in the jungle. So they fired him. They had taped most of the movie at that point, and Fox was getting ready to pull the plug. They wanted to have one last meeting. And if I remember the stories correctly, the design that Stan Winston came up with James Cameron on the plane to the meeting is what ultimately led led Fox to come out and say, okay, finish taping and we'll see what you got with the new design.
Yeah, see, that's fascinating to me. And like, again, I saw these, I grew up on these movies. I watched them all the time when I was a kid, but like as an adult now, I feel like I don't know. I was kind of like not really looking forward to this movie, but I was intrigued by Prey, I will say.
So, excuse me. As the franchise as a whole, it's been kind of hit or miss. Like one had all the 80s camp it needed. And it fit well. It worked well. Jesse Ventura, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's his name that played Apollo Creed? I can't remember his name now all of a sudden. He was
Carl Weathers.
Yes, Carl Weathers. It was a good cast for action in that time period. It was a good movie for horror in that time period. If it came out today with the quality it was then, it would probably be a B movie. But one and two were good. Aliens vs. Predator, they tried to tie the two franchises together based on some of the comic book mythology. And the Dark Horse, I think it was, has the rights or had the rights to Predator and Alien. And they started the whole Alien vs. Predator franchise in the comics. So they were trying to bring it into the movies with that movie. It's just they kind of rushed the story and kind of rushed the whole Weyland-Yutani connection from Alien into Predator. And that's the two movies that kind of tied them both together. But they weren't that good.
And also, sorry to interrupt you. Also, to weren't they like the first films in both franchises that were rated PG-13?
I think so.
Wow. Yeah, you lose a little bit of the identity of those characters if you bring them into a PG-13 setting.
Yeah, and it's mainly because of how visceral both creatures were when they killed. They were always bloody, always violent. And then you tone it down to attempt, because the late 90s and early 2000s had this really bad habit of making PG-13 horror because they thought they could get a bigger audience and be more successful. And all they really did was dumb down and stupefy horror when they did it. Pretty much to this day, if you ask a horror fan, oh, this movie's coming out, what's the rating? PG-13? It's going to suck. I mean, that's usually the first reaction. Whether it's true or not, you don't find out till you see it. But for the most part, when you hear that a horror movie is going to be PG-13, the first reaction is skepticism.
Yeah. Being a horror fan, I can't tell you, like, not offhand. I know that there are PG-13 movies that have come out that are, like, good and that are horror, but I couldn't tell you any, like, directly offhand.
Yeah, right off the top of your head, you can't. I mean, there are some, what they are, I just can't remember. But you've taken two violent creatures, stuck them in a PG-13 crossover franchise with a Rush story. Then you had the Adrian Brody-led Predators, which was an interesting take and sequel to the whole franchise. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was good, but not great. The Predators came on after that. And I'm going into the whole franchise, aren't I? The Predators, it was okay. It was supposed to build towards a bigger story. Because at the end of the Predators, you got the quote unquote hero, and he finds the anti-Predator suit is what it is. And that's how the movie ends, because it's supposed to set up for some new story, but I'm not sure what happened with that. And then they decided to go back and do a prequel with Prey.
Well, so what's interesting about the Predator, Predator is the only movie, well, we've done, if you guys want more Predator franchise episodes, we've done Predator from 1987. We've also done The Predator. So if you guys would like to hear our thoughts on those, I will link those in the descriptions below.
When did we do Predator?
Way back in the day. I think it's been like 4 or 5 years. Yeah, Victims did it way back in the day.
Okay, Victims did it.
Yeah, so Victims and Villains has two Predator episodes left, two Predator episodes out there. I remember the... So Predators is the only entry that I haven't seen. I used to watch Predator 1 and 2 all the time. I grew up on AVP, both of them. Yeah, they're a mess. but the end of The Predator was supposed to, that suit was supposed to reveal Dutch. Like, but they couldn't get Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the studio wouldn't allow it or something like that. So like, I was really interested in seeing like what Disney, when they bought Fox, was going to do with some of these franchises that they had kind of had that like had every few years attempted to like make something new out of or recapture that glory of the original entries into the film, into the franchise. Because it's this and the Alien franchise where Aliens has also kind of Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, AVP, Prometheus, Alien Covenant, a lot of those more sequels are like really split. I feel like it's the same for that franchise as it for this franchise. It's like it has its moments.
If you or someone you know is listening to this podcast right now and you're struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, we encourage you guys to please reach out. This is the heartbeat of why we do what we do. Suicide is currently the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And as of this recording, there are 132 suicides that take place each and every day on American soil. And when you scale back internationally, there are 800,000 successful suicides. That is one death roughly every 40 seconds. So if you or someone you know is struggling, you guys can go to victimsandvillains.net/hope. That resource is going to be right in the description wherever you guys are currently listening or streaming this. There you'll find resources that include the National Suicide Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. You can also text HELP to 741-741. We also have a plethora of other resources, including churches, getting connected with counselors, LGBT resources like the Trevor Project, and also Veteran Hotline as well. Please, if you hear nothing else in the show, understand that you, yes, you listening to this right now, have value and worth. We get it. Suicide, depression, mental health, these are hard topics, and the stigma around them doesn't make it any easier. But please consider the resources right in the descriptions below, wherever you guys are listening, because, once again, you have value and you have worth. So please stay with us.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, yeah, the Aliens franchise. Prometheus kind of had mixed reviews from the fans. I liked it. Other people I know hated it. It introduced the engineers, like it dealt more with the engineers than anything else and their backstory a little bit. And the way they did it, they were setting up for another three movies that were supposed to tie in to Alien. They were supposed to lead up to essentially how the craft landed, crashed on the asteroid, and it did up there. And then Alien happens sometime later. But they did Alien or Prometheus, then they did Alien Covenant, and there were some plot holes left there with the whole thing with the android was really behind everything and he wiped out all the engineers and the story got really weird. I don't know if they're going to do the third movie or not. I do know that they are. Like next year is when the Colonial Marines TV series is supposed to come out.
Yeah, so they're doing a TV series with that series, and they're also going to do a reboot with it. So, anyways, when Disney purchased Fox back in 2019, and they announced like this was going to be one of the first projects they pursued, I was interested to see what new leadership could do with something like this. And I think sometimes it's really rare, but sometimes going back to the foundation and saying, all right, this is where we started from, but is this creature or the menace at the center of our story, is this where their story starts, or is it years ago? Is it decades ago? Is it centuries ago? And I'm always fascinated by that because I always feel like horror prequels, much like PG-13, don't really do well. Like prequels to franchises that are long existent, like iconic properties, like don't really do well. And I think Prey might be one of the very first that I've seen in a long time that actually like goes back to the bedrock, but also presents like a compelling story and actually like builds its characters along with its world.
Well, they also did some tying in and nods to the original two. I don't know how many of them you caught, but there were a few quotes and a few scenes that were nods kind of back to the original. And there was one scene specifically that ties it back to the second one. So
I did catch I only caught one. Like I said, I think it's because I'm a casual fan, but there's that moment where it's in the third act where the brother and sister are at the tree and they're trying to like cheer each other up and like encourage one another that the predator can be killed. And the brother essentially says to the sister, if it bleeds, we kill it, which is obviously a nod from the original.
So yeah, there is that one. Are we going to talk about spoilers now?
Well, let's jump in before we jump around and talk about spoilers. Let's jump around and share our thoughts on this movie. Mark, I'll let you go first since I've teased mine.
It was a decent entry. It wasn't bad. I don't think it was the best. I've seen some people saying it's the best. I've heard somewhere that it's got the best rating on like Rotten Tomatoes. I still think the original's best, but that's me. Being that this one was basically produced by Disney, I was expecting a little social justicing, and there was just a touch, but it wasn't enough to make me hate the movie. And it would be something you'd overlook if you didn't catch it. It would be easy to overlook and just like, oh, so it wasn't really a big deal. But the action was good. The fight scenes were decent. I liked that they did a lot of nods to the original series. I kind of liked what they did with the Predator, but I also was a little confused by a couple things with it. It's a good entry. It's a good solid entry into the franchise, probably somewhere around third or fourth for me out of all of them.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few different people. It seems to be like you either really like this movie and it's in your book, it's better than the original, it's the best Predator that they've ever come out with, or you're kind of like, it's a good entry, but it's like mid-tier for me. And I think that's kind of the two camps that a lot of people are landing in that I've come across. And I enjoyed this movie. I think that it has a good center point with the let me look up at the character's name real quick. I just for the record, while I'm looking this up, this has two different things that you can watch it as. Watch it in English or you can watch it in Comanche. And I tried to watch this in Comanche originally, and the dub for the Comanche is awful. I don't know if anyone else was having issues with it, but it just was not working for me.
Yeah, I just watched it in English.
But it should also be worth noting that like this is one of the first, if not the first, film to be released in Comanche by a major studio, which I thought was really interesting. But so Naru, who is our main character, played by Amber Mid-Thunder, I feel like her story, like at the center of like this like coming of age, was a fascinating juxtaposition to the Predator coming to Earth for the first time and kind of like getting acclimated. I liked the parallel story, the way that it ran. Like I said, like I think the pacing in this movie is really great. The action sequences are really phenomenal, and the kills are really satisfying. I thought that they were really dope.
Yeah. The CGI was a little questionable for me. I'm always going to be a fan of traditional, but it wasn't as bad as the Thing CGI. So you can get by it. You can look past it. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. But yeah, overall, it's a decent entry into the franchise.
I feel like given it would depend on the day as far as rankings go, like I would go back and forth in my mood. Like if I'm in the mood for something nostalgic, I'm going the route of Predator. But if I'm going the route of wanting to see something with a little bit more depth, I'm going Prey, because they're virtually like completely two different films, tonally speaking. So it feels hard to compare the two.
Yeah, to me, and I think I said this when we had discussed the newest Matrix movie. The newest Matrix just felt like a way for them to say, "See, girls can be the chosen one too." And this kind of felt to me, this is what I was saying earlier, it felt like an installment done in a manner to say, "See, girls can kill predators too." But it wasn't such an overwhelming thing that it pissed me off and made me want to turn it off. It was just like, okay, I see what they're doing. I can deal with that. And then it was kind of left alone. But outside of that, it's, I mean, it was fun. I just, some of the technology on the Predator seemed more advanced than its later relatives.
Yeah, it's let's go ahead and get into spoilers, and we'll start with the Predator. The character design, it's interesting because like it feels like primitive, and the way that the suit is designed, and even like the way that the shield, the mask is, but yet like the technology that he has, like you're right, like it feels more advanced than we've seen with other entries into the franchise.
Yeah, so he still had the laser targeting like all the original Predators did, but it was connected to like a bolt gun, or I'm using Warhammer terms, almost like a crossbow. And the bolts for it were targeting to the laser, and they made that kind of overly obvious early in the movie that that's what was going on. With the lasers and his, whatever you want to call it. He didn't have a shoulder cannon, which kind of annoyed me because they all had shoulder cannons. He had the shield. The shield was interesting to see. He had the net. The net made its appearance in the second one, but they never really showed how it worked. They did show in this one. It was almost like a grenade. He threw it and threw it out, and then they kind of pan around as the net's closing in and basically dicing the dude, and you see it's all connected to a device that's basically winding it in, and they never showed that in the second Predator when they showed that weapon.
Yeah, the net might be my favorite like gag in this entire film. I think it's such a cool like little gag because like once like it dices, it also kind of like
slices,
liquefies the individual, which I thought was like such a cool thing to have in like a movie like Predator or like in like Prey, because well, it seems like you would kind of go for a more violent movie.
It didn't liquefy it. It was just dumping blood as it's slicing and dicing and Julianning. The spear, every spear they've shown in every movie has been a little bit different.
Yeah,
this one was a two-parter, and you watched the Predator movies, you saw the first one, it was cool. You watch the second one and realize they're introducing new weapons, so you start watching the Predator movies to see the different weapons, kind of like you watch each Saw installment to see the different torture devices. It's the same kind of thing with Predator. You watch it to see the different weapons that the Predator has and uses.
Yeah, I really enjoyed too, like I mentioned this in the non-spoiler section, but I enjoyed how they really kind of went back to the less is more motif, where you get glimpses of the Predator throughout like the end of the first act, like throughout the second act, but you don't really kind of see him until probably like 50 minutes in. And like you get like sequences where he's like cloaked and he's going through the transparency. And I was like, all right, they're building up to it. And I just kind of thought that was like really refreshing that like they were making you earn the Predator.
Yeah, it was kind of a nod to the first one because that's how they did the first one. When they finally show him, it's like, oh shit, and he's already taken out all kinds of people in violent ways. And it was kind of like that in this one when they finally really show him, he's like covered in bear blood.
Yeah, I love kind of like the reveal of like this Predator when, because if I remember correctly, it's when it's like it's like four or five like tribesmen come against him, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting my scenes confused?
She starts running back, and I think she runs into like her brother, and then they go back to the hunting party, I believe, and he starts slaughtering the hunting party.
All right, so I'm not getting my scenes mixed up. Yeah, it's like, it's such a epic like reveal to kind of have it, but then you have those to kind of satisfy like they are what we would call the slasher victims of this movie, because yeah, they're very paper thin, but they're there for like big reveal, but also like giving you gore fans like the taste that of what you kind of expect. And then the story kind of focuses back on Naru and her brother, and I liked that. I don't know how you felt about her, like her story as a character, but I really enjoyed the fact that like it spent so much time. We might have gotten other characters, but they got out of the way so that we could make way to spend time with this coming of age story.
Well, they used it to build the two characters, because that ultimately essentially all the Predator franchises have been one-on-one in the final battle.
Yeah.
And this one wasn't. This one was 2-1 for the final battle. And it eventually gets to 1-on-1, but at that point they've kind of wore on him and injured him. The two of them did. But before that, they run into the trappers. And this is another one of the scenes. It was a nod back to the original. Was when they cut the one native's chest. That was actually a nod back to Billy from the original, when he's standing on the tree and cuts his own chest. That was actually meant to be a nod back to the original.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. So my biggest problem that I had with this movie, I would probably say, and again, I don't know enough about like this period of American history or Native American history or French history for that matter. I didn't really care for the Frenchman portion of this movie. I felt like it kind of took me out of it.
Yeah. kind of went back to what I was saying earlier. That was one of like the two things. It was like, oh, really? It felt like they were in there to be the evil white man. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and it felt like to me, like, this is...
You muted yourself.
This is the first film that's ever been really given to us where we have a largely Comanche cast in Hollywood that's been to this level of blockbuster, for one. For two, also, this is the first time we've ever seen something like this take place in the Predator franchise. So this movie is making big waves for minorities and the franchise as a whole.
And for me, that's fine. I have no issues with that, that's what they wanted to do with this. What would have made this movie better is if they had almost, like, you had Star Wars A New Hope, and then A Force Awakens was almost the same movie, just retold. It would have been so much better if they had made this almost the same thing. Like, the hunting party goes out maybe to go after a bear or something, and then the whole movie is them being stalked by the Predator, as opposed to trying to introduce different elements, and these guys are idiots, and these guys are trappers. And if they had tried to do it essentially kind of like they did the original, it would have been better.
Yeah, so it kind of feels like the Frenchman aspect of this is kind of like a way for like Disney to say, oh man, like Dan Trachtenberg like really brought this back to its core. They really brought it back down to like, you know, this intimate storytelling with a group of people that we've never really spent time with in a major blockbuster before, but let's not make it too woke. Let's throw the white guys in here to kind of, you know, be comic relief or to be the bad guy. Whatever the purpose was, I just felt like if you took them out of the story, the story would be exactly the same. They didn't bring anything to this at all, with the exception of Naru learning to fire a gun. Like, yeah, that's it.
And the learning how to operate the traps, the bear traps and stuff.
Yeah, like, but again, I think had you made that character like a little bit, you could have easily taken out those scenes. For one, Neru finds her brother in the forest. She stumbles upon the gun, and through trial and error, they learn how to operate the bear traps. Like,
yeah.
you could do all three of those elements and not have that aspect in there, because that aspect just kind of feels tonally off with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it just it could have not been there and been a better movie. I would have rather seen a hunting party or a war tribe versus a predator, as opposed to having to deal with some trappers and watching the predator slaughter the trappers and then watching Neru and her brother tag team the predator.
And like the deaths of the trappers, like, they're not even like good memorable deaths. Like,
it reminded me of the killing scene at the end of Halloween Kills, when he stands up after getting beaten. Yeah, the predator just kind of, they started opening fire on him, and he just started whooping ass and slicing and dicing people with his spear and all his other weapons. It was a way to introduce his arsenal in a manner that he keeps it all at that specific moment.
Yeah, go ahead. I felt like you were done.
Yeah, it was a way for them to show how capable he was of slaughtering people at one point.
Yeah, I'm okay for that, but I felt like their scene kind of felt like ran on a little bit too long. I recently, just last week, I revisited Wes Craven's directorial debut, Last House on the Left.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that movie probably in like 12 years. That is a very rough movie, but I bring it up as an example, because when you look at the majority of that movie, it's a really heavy movie, and then you have these slapstick sheriffs that are kind of a way to juxtapose the heaviness of the main characters and the main situation that they're all going through, but they don't bring anything to the film. And that's kind of what these characters in this movie felt like.
Their purpose to me appeared to be to do nothing but show how violent and deadly the predator was. That's the only purpose they had.
Yeah. I mean, also, you could have like had like the predator like stumble upon them like earlier in the movie, or like, I don't know. Like, I felt like we didn't need to spend as long with these characters as we did.
It didn't need to be. I mean, the whole scene ultimately leads to telling Neru, or whatever her name was. I'm bad with names and have a bad memory. It ultimately leads to her learning, being told how to fire the gun, the flintlock. That's all it is. So it served two purposes, that and to show how much of an arsenal the predator had, and how well he could kill people in mass.
Yeah. Well, I know you love when I do this. So Neru, throughout the course of this movie, this is kind of like a coming of age film for her, and her entire journey is kind of like essentially showing her worth to the rest of her tribe. And when we talk about the mental health of this movie, what better way to do that than addressing a character's journey of trying to prove their worth not only to their families, but also to the loved ones and to themselves.
How would you guys like to help us get mental health resources into schools, conventions, and other events? Well, now you can. Simply go to patreon.com/victimsandvillains for as little as $1 a month. You guys can help us get mental health resources into current and upcoming generations, educate and break down stigma surrounding mental health, suicide, and depression. And you get exclusive content that you can't get anywhere else. And you guys can tell us which Nicolas Cage movie you want us to cover, and we'll do it. All it takes to get started is to go to patreon.com/victimsandvillains or simply click the link in the episode description wherever you guys are currently listening or streaming this episode. Pick your tier and get started today. Yes, it's that simple. So quickly select the tier that you want and help us get hope into the hands of the depressed and the suicidal today.
Excuse me. Yeah. She was, yeah, trying to prove her worth and prove that she could do it too. And for some people, that's actually a motivating factor. It can be. The ability to prove you can do something people think you can't or told you not to do.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, where people find their worth from, because I feel like much like dealing with depression or any other mental health issues, it's not a one size fits all. Like, the therapist that works for person A might not work for person B, or the treatment that works in addiction for person C might not work for character D. And so everyone finds their worth in so many other different things. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, her trying to find value in what she does, excuse me, with, you know, trying to kind of go against the norm and prove that, you know, she's not a gatherer or, you know, however this tribe sees women, but she is a hunter and she wants to kind of break stereotypes and prove that she can also do something of value to herself is also, I think, from a storytelling perspective, is really important to highlight, because while I don't know a whole lot about history, I do know that, if I remember correctly, tribes around this time, you know, women had their roles and men had their roles. They were very particular. And the fact that we're getting a story like that, is fascinating to me, honestly.
And I think some of that has to, I think some of it differs from tribe to tribe, because there were some native tribes that were just super hostile and even tales of cannibalism from some of these tribes. But then there were others that were super friendly, helpful to the colonists and things like that. So it ranged. From my knowledge of history, it was like one extreme to the other in the tribe. So it's something like that. On a tribal level, Viking women were allowed to own land, which was like not heard of throughout a lot of the world at that time. But you could have, in some of the tribes, different roles, I would guess, similar in some of them. I don't know enough about Native American culture to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I would love for people listening, if you know about history of this era and kind of the way this film depicts it, tweet to us or like just DM us on any of our social medias.
Yeah, because it's, I don't think either one of us know enough to make a determining statement one way or another. So, yeah.
But I do know, and like I did resonate with the fact that like here she has a you know, mother, and like even to a certain extent, like a brother, and like the hunting parties that like don't believe in this one thing that she could do. And I think sometimes those kind of voices or those naysayers really prevent us from bringing out the best in us, but also at the same time also helping us to grow and have faith in ourselves. Because you're clinically speaking, if I remember correctly, you're going to respond one of two ways. You're either going to agree with all those negativities and you're going to start believing yourself because your brain is constantly hearing all of that, and it's essentially rewiring the way that you view yourself and your own self-worth and value. Or you're going to be determined to prove them wrong, much like Naru is in this movie.
Yeah, that's how I've kind of gotten to where I am, is, and I'm not getting into names or relation, but I had a couple of family members tell me that I was never going to be anything, that I was never going to be successful and laziest person they know. And it turned into almost a driving force. Somebody tells me, oh, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. I'll turn around and do it just to prove you can. And that's how I handled something like that.
Yeah, I've dealt with that a lot too. When I was 19, quit my job, and went into full-time ministry for a few months. It was probably like 6 months, and like it was really crazy. And in that time, I bought a ring and proposed to my now wife. And again, I got a lot of those same things, is like, oh, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do this. And even doing something like Victims and starting a nonprofit has been, I feel like, also kind of a same, you know, negative kind of force sometimes from people be like, oh, that's cool, but you know, how are you going to provide for your family? How are you going to feed your, you know, place a roof over here? Says like, well, I will take this step now and I'll worry about it later.
I think a lot of the people that do that, that say those kind of things, I think it's out of a place of fear that they don't have the willpower, or they don't think they have the ability to do that kind of stuff. That's why they put other people down. So they don't feel bad for not doing what they can do.
I absolutely believe that, because while I in the past have been a victim of bullying, I've also probably come across as a bully to some people, and for the same exact reasons of fear, or just, you know, not believing myself, or not understanding, you know, whatever the bullying cliches are, because I think the old saying is like, we're always the villain in someone else's story. And like, you have to reckon, I have to reconcile with that, that like I've hurt people in ways that seem irredeemable to them. Words are fun. But like at the end of the day, like I've wrestled with that. I've kind of forgiven myself, and I've grown from that as well.
At the same time, you can't do anything about it. What happened?
That too. I mean, yeah. It's like Rafiki says in The Lion King, where he hits Simba in the head. Why'd you do that? Doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not repeating those actions is what matters.
Yeah, and really growing from them, like, and even coming back to like people, you know, undermining value or undermining your worth. Like, if you were to like take those examples and like grow from them, like sometimes it's the darkest times where you can grow the most. If you persevere, you build character, essentially.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
So
I think for Naru, like that's definitely the journey that she goes on, is not not only to prove someone wrong, but also, like you said, like to prove to herself that she can do this and accomplish this.
Well, she already believed she could do that. She said from the very beginning, I can. I know I could do this. It was a point to prove that she could. And then it turned into a matter of proving it through survival.
Yep. What you said. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's been a long time. And like, I feel like we all are kind of going through that coming of age story where it doesn't matter how old we get, we're always still growing and we're always still learning.
I mean, I'm just looking forward to getting old and screaming at kids to get off my lawn. So
something tells me you already do that.
Close. Nobody comes on my yard anyways.
Just come out with a paintbrush. Get off my lawn.
I'm looking forward to my ARP card and my cheap tea and coffee. Well, I hate coffee, but still. My cheap Hardee's breakfast and a hover around with a push bar on the front.
Yeah.
That's my life goal.
That is fine. Such is life. Is there anything else you want to talk about in this movie? I feel like we've covered not only the franchise, but like the mental health of this movie, and also its pretty sweet deaths.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. Well, if you guys have seen Prey, what did you guys think about it? Did it live up to the hype? Where does it land in the franchise for you? Let us know. Tweet to us at Victims and Villains. Mark, speaking of social media, where can people find you?
I just have my nerdy model painting at Titanium Juggernaut on Instagram. Titanium Juggernaut painting.
Well, you guys can follow me. I'm on Letterboxd at Captain Nostalgia. And you guys can also follow me on TikTok. I'm at Gent, G-E-N-T, Ghostface. And you guys can follow our parent company, Victims and Villains. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Spotify, Patreon, and wherever you guys get your podcasts from. All of those can be found in the show notes below, along with our mental health resource library as well. Join us next week. We'll be taking a look at two new releases in Orphan, First Kill, and Glorious. So until next week, remember, the longer that you gaze into the abyss, the more the abyss gazes back into you.